Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. It is a pleasure to welcome back to our studio Aaron Laget-Kaplan, who is a classical guitarist, and he is here kind of a historical moment in Conducting Conversations. He was the last guest we had back in March before the pandemic struck, and now he's back again in person here in the studio, we're happy to say. We're not Zooming. We're about 6 feet apart, so we're safe, but he is here. Welcome back to the program, Aaron.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be outside of my house.
Live and in person, right?
Yes.
Well, when you were here in March, we had a great show, as we've had a couple others in the past, talking about your expertise on the guitar and your teaching and your playing and your recording. And things have changed during the last few months, but you are continuing, and we're going to get to find out a little bit about that. But for people that might have missed the first show, I just want to catch up with you. You're from the Boston area, correct?
I'm based in Boston. I'm originally from Colorado, but I've lived in Boston for 20 plus years.
20 years in Boston. Well, I think that qualifies you as a, you know, kind of a New Englander.
I think so.
You'll never be really accepted.
Exactly. I think it takes two generations.
Just like I'll never be accepted in Colorado, I'm sure.
You have a good beard. I think you could fit.
That might work out. But now, coming from Colorado, did you study music as a young child?
Music was around me quite a bit. My mother was a big fan of Stephen Sondheim and Broadway plays.
I like your mother.
She's pretty good. I like her too. My father was a drum major in high school, played clarinet. But most of my music growing up was probably Billy Joel, Styx. I had older siblings. Let's see, who else? Twisted Sister was a big, big one on me. And I played electric guitar and wanted to be a rock star starting at around age 11. And then I heard the classical guitar. I was sitting in my Spanish class and the teacher put on a video of the great Andrés Segovia, and I was smitten. That was it. I stuck the pick between my fingers, my pinky and my third finger, and I started picking at the guitar with my fingers, and then saved up over the summer by working and bought a classical guitar, found a teacher, and yeah, that's the rabbit hole I've been in since I was about 16 years old.
Well, that's how it starts for lots of people, and you've kept up with it, moved to Boston to study. Is that what happened?
Yes, I went to Boston University for a year and then realized that the teachers I wanted to work with were at a different school, so I went to the New England Conservatory, where I learned to read music really well and sang in the choir, played chamber music, listened to so much music. Oh, it was unbelievable, the amount of music that's in Boston.
See, you missed your opportunity when you said sang in the choir. You could have become a singer, and then you wouldn't have to carry any stuff around.
You're exactly right. And that's probably one reason I stopped playing electric guitar. I hate carrying gear, but I do love my guitar. And after conservatory, I met a Russian teacher who was living in Dorchester, Dmitry Goryachev. And I basically was at his house 3 to 6 hours a week, and I apprenticed with him basically for about 7 years. And then he kicked me out and said, go. And I gigged for a long time. I've always been teaching. And then I create projects of concert series, commissioning projects. I record. I collaborate with composers. I love working with people who write music and seeing how they click. And is this what they mean? Because these dots on the page, they're just dots.
Sure. And
how we define them is a very special creation. So yes, that's, and I'm still here.
Well, there you go. Well, we have lots of music to play today, and I want, as we go along, have you not only explain the music that we're about to listen to, but also to talk about your latest projects. And before we do that, you have a website that people can go to, right?
Yes, ALC Guitar, one word, ALCGUITAR.com.
There's also Facebook and so forth.
Yes, Facebook is actually facebook.com/ALC Guitar. Twitter is ALC Guitar. Instagram. I have a YouTube channel, which is different, Aaron LC Guitar. And albums are on Amazon, Bandcamp, iTunes. The newest album, Nights Transfigured, was just released on November 6th. Hmm. And that is currently only available on Bandcamp, but will be rolled out to other platforms over the next month.
Excellent. All right, what's this first piece of music you have for us?
The first piece, actually, I think all of the pieces today that I have planned come from the latest album, Nights Transfigured. This is a commissioning project I started in 07 called the New Lullaby Project. We've heard a few pieces from the first album, New Lullaby. And this album was just recorded and over during the pandemic in August and September. And I'm very happy with it. These are pieces I've commissioned living composers to write pieces in the genre of a lullaby. And I'm pretty flexible with how that is defined. It has to be beautiful, though. And so I contacted Stephanie Ann Boyd, who's a composer living in New York City, and I asked her if she'd like to join, and she was smitten by the idea. And the first word that came to mind was her favorite name of a girl, Esperanza, which in French is j'espère, or is hope, and Spanish is Esperanza. And she took this as inspiration and wrote a lullaby for herself, for her little girl, for all little girls everywhere, her little sister. So some of these lullabies are very warm and cuddly, and others can be a little spiky, but this is one of the more warm and cuddly, transfiguring, mm-hmm. to rise up and improve mm-hmm. on something. So I'm happy to introduce this to the world of WCRI. Thank you.
beautiful music, Aaron. You know, you mentioned that lullabies can be either soft, warm, and fuzzy, or a little bit. So I would use sometimes the term hectic and nonsensical. My group does a lullaby called Jennifer's Rabbit.
Yes.
And it was written by Tom Paxton. I don't know if you know that name. He's a,
yes, I do
a little
know
before
him.
Your era. And it's about, you know, everything you could throw into a lullaby. It has animals, it has characters, it has places. You go to a movie theater, you go to a shop, you get to go to a Chinese place and have tea, you have, you know, all kind of stuff is in this lullaby. And we really enjoyed doing it. And we were performing one time, and this woman comes up to us after the show and says, she would have really enjoyed that. And I said, oh, you're talking about your daughter, your mother? She said, no, Jennifer. And I said, Jennifer, what do you mean? She says, Jennifer, Tom Paxton's daughter, is my niece.
Oh, wow.
And he had written it for his daughter, right? So you never know, who's in the audience.
Exactly.
And you never know what a lullaby is going to lead to.
That is, I agree with you 100%. I think that's one reason why this project has really resonated with composers and listeners, is that everyone has a connection to a lullaby. Everyone knows what it is. Even in cultures where they, in essence, ban music, they're still lullabies. Mm-hmm. And it's an ancient form of music, and it's defined differently by everyone. And each one, even though they're all lullabies, they're unique. It's like what Garcia Lorca, the great poet Federico Garcia Lorca, said, is that the light from the moonbeams, they're always the same, but they're, the job of the poet is to show how they're uniquely different. Mm-hmm. And I think that each of the composers, I've premiered 61 of them and recorded now over 30, and none of them are the same.
Yeah.
I mean,
amazing,
some right? have similar qualities.
Yeah.
But they're not the same.
Right.
And I just
like snowflakes,
love that.
Right?
Yes, like snowflakes or cups. Well, you can have bad cups of coffee. We don't want to go there.
But you could have, you know, fingerprints. There we
yes,
go.
Yes, yes. So I think there's just that connection to it, mm-hmm. and I think it's beautiful. Yeah.
All right. What do we have next?
The next one, we're going to travel to Australia, Melbourne, Australia. And Barnaby Oliver is a composer who was raised in the UK, and he moved to Melbourne, and he's in a number of bands and writes music, and he found out about the new Lullaby Project. And he, prior to that, he had had kids, and he had been experimenting with lullabies in different settings, and he had written them, you know, hopefully for the kids. And he kind of realized that he didn't think they worked for his kids, but they definitely worked for him and his wife. They were very helpful. And so he saw the project, and he arranged, or kind of rearranged, rewrote one for solo guitar. And this one is called The Pillow That You Dream On. And this dates back to 2010. And it's just a beautiful lullaby. I do warn you that if you are driving, I take no responsibility if you doze off. So please be careful. Crack your window. If you're hypnotized, that's, you know, I've succeeded. If you fall asleep, don't feel bad. They're lullabies. You're supposed
that's
to.
That's right. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more. Thank you. We are back listening to beautiful music provided by Aaron, and it's a lullaby theme tonight that we've been finding out about. And Aaron, you and I could, as we mentioned during the break, we could ramble on forever about lots of subjects, and I do want to make sure we get to all the pieces you brought tonight. So this next one is by someone named Patricia Julian, correct? Yeah.
Patricia Julian is a wonderful composer up in Burlington, Vermont. She teaches at the University of Vermont in Burlington. She's a flutist, jazz flutist, and composer. And she found out about this. And
so is it flutist or flautist?
Oh, okay. I think you have to ask her. Okay. You know, we can switch it off to make sure we cover everything.
Yeah, so we'll cover it.
As a flautist and composer, her and I were talking about this project, and she liked how open-minded I was to being a lullaby, because everyone was defining it differently. And so she thinks of needing sleep as feeling thirsty, as you know, when your eyes are dry or wet even, but I find it dry when I can't sleep and I'm like, come on, I need to sleep. And she found that feeling and she wanted to put that into a piece of music. And so she called it After Many Days Without Rain, where there's just this need for rain and or for sleep is the metaphor. And she wrote a beautiful piece. It's the scale is loosely derived 12 tone. It has an unusual meter, but you won't really hear that. It's just, I find, a beautiful piece of music.
I'm going to be in a great mood after this show. I'm going to be very calm and very, you know, very peaceful. Let's go to this next one, Reva's Lullaby.
Yes, this is a piece, Reva's Lullaby.
Reva's Lullaby.
It is a person, so I should be okay. I should respect her.
Reva.
Reva. Reva. Reva. Okay. There you go.
R-E-V-A. All
right. Like revving an engine. That's it. Okay. Reva's Lullaby is by a composer, Vineet Shende. Vineet is a composer who is on faculty at Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. I've played quite a bit of his music, pieces for choir and guitar, this solo, and then we're elaborating on a project of Bach preludes reimagined as if Bach were from South India. And yes, it is that exciting. You're going, wow, I can see it in your face. But this piece is for the new Lullaby project, and he introduced his daughter Reva to the music of Toru Takemitsu when she was very little. She would only fall asleep to an album of the complete works of Toru Takemitsu, and this went on for a couple of years, drove him a little batty. And so when he heard about the project, he kind of went back to that. And this piece, like some of the other lullabies, Vin is a guitarist as well, and so he uses the guitar in a different manner. So you'll definitely hear some sounds that are not typical. We call them extended techniques, and it's like bending the string. On electric guitar is very normal, but on classical music we don't do it so often. So I actually literally bend the string, which raises the pitch and lowers the pitch. And then other times I'll use my right hand and play on the nut side of the guitar, so on the neck, and it creates kind of a music box effect. And you'll hear it. You'll hear regular, normal sounds on the guitar, and you'll hear these very high, chimey sounds going on. So it creates this transporting, hypnotic sense of sound. And for those of you who are big theory nuts, he's mixing a raga from India, a nighttime raga, with sounds of Western music. And if you don't hear any of that, it's completely fine. It really, I'm not going to come over to your house and judge you.
Just enjoy it, right?
Yeah, it's just sound. And hopefully it moves you in some way or another. That's all. So this is Reva's Lullaby by Vineet Shende.
Aaron, time for one more piece. What do you have for us?
This is a beautiful lullaby called Lullaby for Our Time by Francine Trester. She's a composer at Berklee College of Music. She wrote this inspired by my first online concert I did in April when the pandemic hit. She was very moved to see so many people online and by the experience of hearing a concert like that and connecting. And so she wrote a poem that then became a song that then became a lullaby. So this is Lullaby for Our Time.
We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with much more. Conducting Conversations is the name of the program. I'm Mike Mano, happy to be sitting with Aaron Lajay-Kaplan, who is a classical guitarist, teacher, performer, all-around good guy. And we're very excited to have him back in the studio, live and in person. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Aaron was last here, just before the pandemic hit. We did our program with him, and tonight we're featuring lullabies, that he has been putting together. I think you said 30-something of them over a period of time you've recorded?
I've recorded, yes, as of 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I've now released 30. There will be an anthology put in partnership with the American Composers Alliance, so people who are interested in scores. And I have a third album of lullabies coming out in early 2021. So it's a project that seems to resonate with people.
And if people want to get more information, they can do that how?
ALCguitar.com is my website. And the latest album, Nights Transfigured, is on the website, but it's also only available, at least at this moment, on Bandcamp, which is a wonderful independent record distributor and or website, I should call it. And that is alcguitar.bandcamp.com. And you can find New Lullaby, Tracing a Wheel on Water, my debut CD, a couple of singles, and of course, Nights Transfigured for purchase of physical and digital albums.
Now, some people that might be listening might be a little bit confused as to how this works. Are you able to receive income from the work that you've been doing through the Bandcamp?
Yes. Actually, Bandcamp is one of the nicest artist-friendly websites. So iTunes takes about 30% of every sale. Amazon can take anywhere up to 50 to 55%
wow.
of every. Yes, they're doing quite well. And Spotify, which is a streaming service, they pay 0.0005 something per stream, and that can vary depending. So If you love the arts, which I assume since you're listening to Conducting Conversations, you have wonderful taste and you love the arts very much, one of the ways to support artists, especially during the pandemic, is by downloading or buying the albums. And Bandcamp is a great way to do it. Even better is directly from the artist if that's offered. But it does take maybe a few seconds more of your time, and you might have to pay a dollar or two for shipping. But in the end, anything of beauty is worth that dollar or two.
Well, that sounds like a great way to support people that we know need support right now. All artists are in this situation where some of us will be the last ones back when the pandemic is finally over, when we get back to that what used to be normal. So do your part and check that out. We're listening to, as I mentioned, Lullabies, and this next one has a little bit of a local flavor in that this composer just moved to Rhode Island.
Yes, James Dalton is a composer I met at the Boston Conservatory when I was faculty member there, and he wrote this lullaby, A World of Your Own, for me during that time, and he just moved to Smithfield, Rhode Island, so welcome to Rhode Island.
Smithfield is like, that's forever from here. It's almost half an hour.
this Rhode Island is a huge traveling state, just it's so varied. But I hope the North and the South can get along.
Yeah, we do pretty well, yeah. Unless you're from, if you're from Woonsocket, then you don't know anyone from Westerly. But other than that, the rest of it kind of gets through. All right, here we go with A World of Your Own by James Dalton. Thank you. Aaron, we have time for one more piece of music before we close off today, and it's going to be an appropriate piece considering that Thanksgiving is coming up, and we wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. It'll be a little bit different than normal for most people, but we'll make it through. That's the old motto. You just keep going, you know, keep just pushing along, and things will get better. You mentioned something I just wanted to refer to. You mentioned that someone had written a lullaby and that their child wouldn't go to sleep till they heard the lullaby.
Yes.
And I can relate to that, as a friend of mine was having trouble with their baby crying a lot before they would go to sleep. And one time we were there for a quartet rehearsal, and I just happened to pick the baby up while I was singing. And out like a light.
Oh.
I said, well, I don't know if that's good news or bad news. But the vibration, I guess, of just being next to my chest while I was singing. So vibration, I'm sure, of the lullaby is the same kind of thing that takes place.
I love that story. That's beautiful. When I was in high school and I just started playing guitar, I would practice before school when I was mm-hmm. playing classical guitar. And sometimes my dad would come in to my bedroom and he'd sit on the bed and, you know, try and be supportive to this new hobby of mine, I guess. Mm-hmm. And within a minute, he'd be knocked out asleep on the bed. And, you know, yes, it's 7 a.m, but I was playing Renaissance dances and Spanish pieces and he was knocked out. So I joke that I've been putting people to sleep for many years.
Well, there you
and
go, right?
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. And I kind of challenge listeners to stay awake. I think these are beautiful pieces. And for a lot of this is to introduce people to composers they may not know. I would say 80% of the composers had never written for guitar, maybe 70% had never written for guitar before this. Very few actually are guitarists. Vinicende is, and a few others on this album. But it's just an opportunity to hear some gorgeous music on the most beautiful instrument there is, the classical guitar. And it's, for me, it shows off the colors, the timbre, and I have this guitar against my chest, like you were holding this baby, and it resonates, and I feel it, and I know when a piece is on, it just resonates right.
You can feel it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it's an amazing talent that you have, and an amazing job that you've done, and since we're kind of wrapping up here, I want to invite you back for when the next piece is ready, the next CD is ready.
Of course.
In the spring, and when you come back in the spring, we will have had a marvelous recovery by then.
From your mouth to the universe's ear, you know.
There we go. All right. Well, let's think of it that way. You have one more piece for us. Tell us about this one.
Yes, this is called A Child Sings at Thanksgiving by Demetrius Spanaeus. Demetrius is a composer who was raised in Lowell, Massachusetts, and lived in New York for a few decades, and is now back on the North Shore, just north of Boston. And he's a saxophonist, a public speaker, a composer. And he took this hymn and made it into a short guitar piece. And it's just a lovely piece of music. And I want to wish everyone a safe and happy Thanksgiving and day after. And we're all in this. We're all going to be in this world, hopefully for a long time. So let's live together and listen to beautiful music.
Excellent. Thanks again, Aaron. We'll
Thank you.
See you next time, along with everyone else on Conducting Conversations.
Thank you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.